Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you're here. Today is my 35th birthday. And so what is a better way to celebrate than a podcast with you? I sure can't think of one. I have a cheetah shirt on. I have cheetah glasses on. I have a cheetah pen in my hand. I don't know if this is like a millennial thing that I'm obsessed with cheetah. Call me Chugi, but I love cheetah. Now, I'm not typically a big birthday gal. Like, I don't really like to celebrate birthdays. It's not for me, but I'm excited to celebrate with you today. And the way that we're celebrating is I took a notebook and I just kind of like wrote a bunch of crap on it, just words that came to my head. And I was originally going to do one of those episodes that was like 35 things I've learned in my 35 years of life. And then I was like, you know what? No, that's annoying. And thinking of 35 things is really hard. So I'm not going to do that. That's not how my ADHD brain works. My brain works by I just kind of wrote down a bunch of different words that really and I just thought of another one. I'm gonna write it down. That really align with me, that like I think about often. And just like kind of, I want to share with you the wisdom that I feel like I have collected over the course of 35 years. Now, please know, I am not saying that I am the smart one. Listen to me, do as I do. No, that's not it at all. I just feel like I've done a lot of things wrong. And by doing that, I've learned a lot. And I want to share that with you. And I don't have a big sister. So this is my way of pouring back into you, and trying to give those big sister vibes. I also have two daughters, so being able to see them interact with each other has been really, really cool. And yeah, so I just want to kind of like share that wisdom. Take what serves you and leave the rest behind. Now, before we do that, I do want to jump into this week's Fine Food Freedom Win of the Week. I was searching through my screenshots and I was going to read one of them, but I felt like, you know what? Let's do something a little more timely. So last week I held a free masterclass, and we do these. I used to do them a lot more often. And every time I do them, I get this like energetic charge in me that I want to do more of them. Because it's just so freaking cool that I get to connect with people all over the globe for free and offer, you know, support with intuitive eating. But we had over 300 people sign up. I want to say there were probably like 25 to 30 people there live yesterday. And then everybody gets the recording. So a lot of people just sign up to get the recording, but it was just so cool because I really, really, really like to make these master classes interactive. We have the chat open where we're really in dialogue and in community together. There were people truly from all over the globe, different continents there. And it just always fills up my cup. And then one really cool thing is, you know, now that we take health insurance at Fine Food Freedom, I get to talk to people about that. Like, we get to have this really great hour-long discussion together in community. And then now I get to say, if you want, we also take health insurance and you might have one-on-one virtual support fully covered by your health insurance, which is just so freaking cool. So if you're someone who has listened to our podcast and you were like, whoa, you support people, like I can have free support. Yes, you can. So click the link in the show notes below, go to Instagram, go to TikTok and check your health insurance benefits with our team. We would absolutely love to support you. We have 11 dietitians all over the nation. We're licensed in over 29 states now. It's always changing. We're always adding more. So we would love to support you. Okay, so let's get into some birthday things. Like I said, I just wrote a bunch of stuff down. I'm going to read what I wrote. I wrote food, body, movement, wellness, mentorship, relationships, friendships, perception of self, identity, peace, work, family, hobbies, and joy, and kids. Okay, so I kind of wrote all these things down. I was trying to think of them as categories. And the thing about this is the way my brain works is all of these things kind of like make up who I am, right? Like they're huge pieces of me. And my relationship to them have, these things have changed dramatically over the course of my 35 years and have defined me and have, I've had to do unlearning and relearning and all of these things. So I want to just kind of like share the wisdom, and I did not journal more than those words. I really wanted to use this podcast episode as almost like a live reflection, diary entry, journal prompt with you. And this is something that you could also do. So kind of like write your name in the middle of a piece of paper and then just write all of these different words that come up for you and how your relationships have changed. So let's go through this, and I'm not going to do it like super lightning speed round, but I, you know, we can't spend hours and hours here together, unfortunately. So I'm going to try to do like before and after-y. I know that sounds diet culture. I hate the words before and after because that makes you think of a transition, like transformation photo. But I mean more so like the younger version of me felt X, and now the 35-year-old version of me feels Y, and here's how I got there. And you might be like, what the fuck is she talking about? I don't know. Let's get into it. Okay. So first and foremost, I wrote the word peace and I circled it because I talk about this on previous episodes that I love to center a word for my year. It's still in January right now. It's still the beginning of the year. And peace was my year for 2026. And so I feel like that word, that theme really bleeds into all of these different relationships and things that I'm going to talk about. One being friendships. And I'm just going to kind of like web everything together. And we're going to kick off with friendships. One thing that I have learned in my 35 years of life is that friendships, specifically for me, female friendships, are one of the cornerstones in my life. They are truly one of the most important relationships in your life. As a female, as someone who identifies as female, the emotional support that my female friendships give me on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis is just unbelievable. And that doesn't mean that my partner and my husband doesn't also give me emotional support, but there is something about my female friendships that I just cannot replicate in a female-to-male relationship that I think is so important on such a deep level. And I also, speaking of friendships, I think this is, I could probably do a whole episode on friendships, you know, later this year. If that's something you're interested in, let me know. But as a 35-year-old, you know, I've had so many different friends along the way, from high school to college to post-college life to adulthood, you know, meeting my kids' friends' parents, and all these people come into your life, and no one really talks about how your friendships change and evolve as you change and evolve. And it's really difficult. And I still have friendships that I've literally went to sixth grade with some of these girls, and we're still best friends, and we were in each other's weddings. And I'm so grateful for that long-term friendship. And some of the friends that I've met later in life have been so incredible because they met me at who I am today versus I was a very different person in sixth grade, and there were a lot of different versions of me along the way. So those friendships are so special because those people have chose to love me and support me and be in my life through all of the crazy different versions of me, all the messy different versions of me. But some of these friendships I've met later in life, we've such intentionally chose each other because of the versions of ourselves that we are right now. And there's something very powerful about that. And that doesn't mean we can't change and grow and evolve and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's really interesting. Some of the strongest friendships and the people that I probably speak to the most on a daily basis are people that I've actually met recently. And I think that just goes, again, it's like what season of life you're in geographically and like in proximity to these people, all of that kind of stuff. But I just want to say that one theme, whether I've had a friend since sixth grade or whether I've had a friend since April of last year, someone I'm thinking of who I've met and we've become very close, is that I never stay, and I don't want to say I never, let me rephrase that. Become friends with people who don't try to dim your light. This is something I have heard Brené Brown quote before, and like, there are going to be people who are like light blower outers. So think of yourself holding a candle. And when you have friends that are genuinely good friends, they're going to support you and they're going to fan your flame and they're going to make you shine brighter. Then there's going to be people that come into your life that when you're holding your candle, your lit candle, they're going to try to blow out your light or they're going to try to dim your light. And anyone who does that, fuck them. I don't have time for that shit anymore. And I just mean that so, so clearly, is that's like, I think there's something really powerful about your 30s. In your 20s, you're trying to figure out who you are. In your 30s, you start to really know who you are. And you just don't put up with that shit anymore. I just don't have time for it. So if anyone tries to dim my light, I'm like, eh, enough. Whether it's physical boundary, verbal boundary, I'm done. And so on that note, I'm going right over to self. I wrote self and I circled it and like perception. I think one thing that I've really noticed, especially in my 30s, I guess you could say mid 30s now that I'm 35, holy shit. But is that I'm very like sure of myself. I've kind of always been that way. I guess I would allude that to my parents and maybe how they raised me and just my environment. And some of it might be personality, but I've always been very sure of myself. Like I think about just different scenarios. Like it could be something as simple as like an outfit that like when you're with friends, it's like, oh, do you like this? Or should I wear this? Like, I don't feel like I need other people's opinions on things. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it feels true to me that like, I don't need that. But I will say someone who has been in the media for the past 10 years, you know, that's a huge part of my job. That definitely fucked with my perception of myself. Something I really had to work through is you have so many people weighing in on you and your thoughts and your opinions and your videos and your content, and it really messes with you and makes you second guess yourself. And so that is something that I've really been working on and that I really encourage you, if you're, you know, listening to this, is it's so important to be so firmly rooted in your values and your morals and who you are and what you believe. And the more that you do that, everything else falls into place. And I feel like the times that have been the most chaotic and unsettling and ungrounded for me, I was so second guessing myself. I was speaking down to myself. And that kind of goes into friendships as well as I'm circling mentorship here of, and then this all loops into perception of self, is like, you need to have a close-knit circle of people that like, those are the only people you're taking feedback from. And even that, like, no one knows yourself better than you. So let's start with that. But for example, and I've said this on other episodes before, there are certain people in my life that if I put, let's say, from a content creation standpoint, if I put a video out on social media and they text me and they say, Sam, I think you really missed the mark on that one. Like that really offended me. Or have you thought about how this would offend this group of people? Or for whatever, that really hurt me. Like if I have a very close-knit group of people that if they sent me that, I'm all ears. I want to learn. They took time to call me in kindly and speak up. Like I care about their opinions. That's huge. Now, there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of comments on the internet of people tearing me down, tearing my character down, tearing a video down, tearing my appearance down. They are not that close group of people that I'm talking about, right? They're probably user 5678123456 7 that doesn't have a profile picture and is just spewing hate towards me. I ain't taking that in. Right? I'm not going to absorb that. I'm not going to let that seep into my body through osmosis or my brain. And that took me a long time to learn. But the same goes for, you could use this same kind of idea. If you're like, I'm not online, I'm not a content creator, it doesn't matter. same thing goes if it's an acquaintance or a person that really doesn't know you and they're kind of this like fringe person in your life. If they're not the close-knit group of people and they're commenting or you heard they talk shit, who cares? They don't know the true you. They don't get to know the true you. They don't have access. They don't have privilege to that. And that has been something that, in addition to female friendships and my relationship to myself, I wrote mentorship. I have a couple incredible women in my life that are not family members, that are older than me and wiser than me and have lived a different life than me. And I cherish those relationships so much. They are actually some of the most important relationships, I would say, because we're not family, but we have a deep love and admiration for each other. We connect on such an emotional level, and they're able to guide me from such a different place than like a friend or a loved one. It's more of a mentor. And unfortunately, about a year ago, I lost one of those mentors. But she was a bridge that connected me to my newer mentor. It's a very serendipitous story. But I just think learning from people that are older and wiser, truly, that doesn't mean that like older people are always wiser, because I learn a lot from people younger than me too. So it's not that, but I do think there is something so valuable of people that have walked more miles in their shoes, right? Lived more life than us. Whew. Okay, let's keep going. I wrote joy. I wrote hobbies. I wrote family. I wrote kids. I think those four, I'm going to just tie together. Joy, hobbies, family, kids. As you age, your priorities change. And it's so interesting because those things define us in ways. Like, it feels like they're a part of our identity, but they're not. They're not characteristics about us. But that has really shook me to my core over the past few years. I started going through IVF in 2021. I had my first child in 2022. I had my second child in 2024. We are toying with this idea of like, do we want a third child? Do we not? And it just changes your life dramatically. It changes your identity. So I guess we could loop motherhood into this, but priorities are allowed to change. I think, you know, before I had kids, Fine Food Freedom was my baby. It was my child. Like, I spent every waking moment thinking about it. And I still do, let's be honest. But now that I also have human babies, toddlers, in my life, I can't be always 100% of the time thinking about my business. And it wasn't a healthy relationship. I definitely like used work to cope and like burnt out and all the things, right? But it's very interesting how priorities shift and how now when I write down the word joy, I find joy in the most simple things. I'm talking like, first of all, can we just take a moment? I'm in my office. There's no children here. They're at school. It's quiet. My husband isn't knocking on my office door. I'm feeling a lot of joy right now. I have big ass iced coffee with cold foam sitting on my desk. That's joy, baby. Simple joys right now. Simple joys bring me the best. It's maybe last night. I have a 3.5-year-old. I put her to bed. I'm walking out. We've had some rough struggles with bedtime, right? They're a lot more aware. They're trying to state their independence. They're testing boundaries. She finally, last night, she usually needs to kind of be asleep, but last night she wasn't fully asleep, and I'm leaving her room, and as I'm like at her door, shutting her door, she goes, "Good night, mommy. I love you. Put a fork in me. I'm done. Put a fork in me. What could be better than this?" That's a Moana song, by the way, from Moana 2. What could be better than this? Okay, anyways, we're a big Disney household right now. That is what I'm finding joy in. I'm finding joy in good food. I'm finding joy in peace and quiet. I'm finding joy in, like, when I go to a yoga class. And, like, it's really interesting. I feel like I wasn't able to find joy in simple things as easy when I didn't have kids. I don't know what that says about me, but it's something I'm learning right now. I'm saying it out loud. I don't think I've ever thought about this before. But because kids take up so much of your time to yourself is so much more precious. Your time, your identity has shifted. Like, I can find joy a lot more simply now. And I think some of it too is because I see the world through innocent eyes of children. The world is a fucked up, scary, dark place right now with the current administration, with ICE. Like, there's so much shit going on. And I think that being able to see the world through children and like have like true belly laughs over something so simply as like a dance party in the kitchen or saying something with a funny accent or like someone farts in our household and it's like so funny. Like that to me is everything. And I'm finding joy in the simplest, most mundane things. And I feel like before I was really, my joy was directly tied with my self-worth, which was very, very intertwined with my job and my status. And I've really dismantled a lot of that. Like, I love Find Food Freedom. I love everything I do with this organization. I love my team. I love, my work is so fulfilling. I wrote the word fulfilling down by work on here. I can't imagine. I am so privileged to work for myself, to have a team of incredible women. I honestly couldn't ever not do something that didn't fulfill me, but my self-worth isn't tied to my work anymore. And I think that makes my work more fulfilling. That makes my work more rewarding. That makes my work more joyful. And that definitely just bleeds over into everything. It affects everything I do. Because I remember, you know, before that, I had a really funky, like, if we move to food and body image and movement, like if you think of my 20s, I was very disordered. I share that on so many different podcasts where we can go through my disordered eating behaviors, and college was a very disordered time for me. So saying this out loud and really talking through this with you, it kind of makes sense because it was like food and body image and movement and calories and weight and all, body size and all of these things took up all of my mental bandwidth when I was disordered, right? It was like striving for that weight loss and perfect body and blah, 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 and all that, like, it was that hamster wheel, that never ending narrative. Then I started to make peace with food in my body. And it was almost like that voice jumped ship to something else. So I didn't have guilt or shame when I was eating, right? And my body was changing and I was learning how to make peace with it and be compassionate and stop the negative self-talk related to food, body, and movement. But that voice jumped ship for me to work. Like, and I know Jenna, my co-host from What the Actual Fork, we've talked about this a lot, of how like being an entrepreneur, it's like, it's a blessing and a curse, right? There's pros and cons to everything. And I feel like I took that, those disordered thoughts and obsessions, and put them towards work, where it was like, you're not good enough. Your post isn't viral enough. You didn't get enough attraction on that. You're not making enough money. Your employees aren't happy. Like, you can just take that self-talk and dump it somewhere else. And I think I was able to like recognize that and be like, what is going on here? And really recognize that like my worth isn't tied to food or body image or work or status, right? Like it's, and that was a really, really rewarding thing. That doesn't mean I still don't struggle or have negative thoughts. We all fucking do. We're humans. But I think that's a big difference from like my 20s to my 30s, and especially being at 35. And it's really interesting being, I'm entrenched in a lot of different groups with content creators, whether they be dietitians, whether they're mom creators, like so many different content creators, just from the nature of my job. And I find that a lot of people in that world struggle with their self-worth being tied to that. And I definitely used to, but I feel like that's something that I had to work through. And it's, I cannot say it enough. This goes back to like your relationship with yourself. Like, do you like yourself? like at the end of the day, right? Like that's a great question to ask yourself. And yeah, it's so crazy how like even just doing this episode, it's just kind of pouring out of me and it all is interconnected. And identity and self-worth, I feel like are kind of one and the same, right? But when we think about like food and body image, excuse me, my identity used to be wrapped up in being the healthy one, being the dietitian, being the food expert. Da, 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 da. And then that transferred to like find food freedom. Like that was my identity. That was my everything. And then enter motherhood. Then it was like, oh my God, this identity crisis of like, now I'm a mom and who is it? And it's just, we're always ebbing, flowing, changing, growing. The more that you surrender to that idea and not get wrapped up in like these black and white labels, it's very, very helpful. I wrote on here wellness. I feel like that's like a new, obviously, like if you listen to any of these episodes, you know, we talk a lot about food and body image, and wellness is one of these things right now that it's diet culture in my head, right? Like wellness culture, and people be like, well, I'm not trying to lose weight. It's for my health and wellness. And I feel like wellness culture is very elitist. Like when I think about the word wellness, I think about like green juices and morning routines and the non-toxic aesthetic and supplements and just the things that the internet shows us basically. But that's not what I mean when I'm saying it right now. Like when I write the word wellness down, I think something that I'm learning as I age and as I get to my 35th year of life is I'm really looking long term right now. It's like, it's not about aesthetics for me. Obviously, you know what I do. I want like, how am I going to live the healthiest life? And when I say healthy, I mean physically, mentally, and emotionally. I have children. If I'm so lucky that one day have grandchildren, like I want to be able to get on and off the floor, right? I want to live a long life and be there for them. I want to be able to take care of my daughters when they become mothers, if they so choose to. I want to be around physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I think that's like, as I age and kind of like once I became a parent and you kind of are looking at your parents and your grandparents from this different lens, now that you just see the world differently, it just changes your perspective. It really has gotten me to think about health and wellness from a longevity perspective, but not like biohacking. How do I live longer? It all comes back to what we do here at Find Food Freedom, right? You can't have guilt and shame with food. You got to be doing this because you want to, not because you have to. So I'm so grateful for the foundational relationship with food and body that I've cultivated professionally and personally throughout these past few years, decade, if you will, and how now I'm kind of transferring that into this new phase where it's like, how do I live in this intuitive eating paradigm and continue to work on bettering my health outcomes without guilt and shame, without fear mongering. And it's really exciting because I want to, because so much of my life, I was making decisions about my health, trying to improve my health because I felt like I had to. And because I felt like I had to intentionally shrink my body when like that is not the case anymore at all. And yeah. And I also like just on the topic of body, right? Like I'm bouncing between everything. I had this thought the other day, how our relationships with bodies, our own body, they always ebb and flow. And especially through motherhood, I haven't done a body image episode in a really long time on the podcast, like speaking about myself. But I mean, I was coming out of the shower the other day, and we have a massive mirror in our bathroom. And I mean, call us brave, I guess, for that, right? Like people probably don't have that. I don't know. I guess I didn't think it was that weird until I was giving someone a tour of our house and they're like, whoa, like this mirror when you come out, like come out of your shower. But I looked in the mirror the other day and I looked at my body and I was like, wow, like I do not recognize this. I just don't. And it's so interesting because I'm obviously always in my body, but I pay such little attention to it that I was like, wow, I just do not recognize this. And that's after having two children. I've also, something I didn't write on here from a mental health perspective, I've shared my journey a lot this past year about going on Zoloft and Wellbutrin, and those are two SSRIs. And I've been wondering lately too with Zoloft, I know I've seen that as a symptom is changes and fluctuations in weight. And I've been wondering, because over the holidays I shared how I felt, not because I was on a scale, but I just felt like I had gained weight and I can just like feel it in my body and just from a neutral observer, not like shame or guilt. And then that paired with how clothes were fitting and then looking in the mirror the other day, I was like, huh, my body has changed like even more so recently. And I'm almost 2 years postpartum from my second. And so it's so interesting because I don't have negative emotions about it, but it's just like I'm always having to tap into this self-compassionate voice. And it's kind of the like, oh, I have to do as I say now, right? Like the do as I say, not as I do. You hear that all the time of people that are some type of guru and they're preaching something and they're like not doing that at all. And it's like, no, I have to tap into this. And like, I'm allowed to struggle, right? I'm a human. I'm allowed to feel discomfort. I'm allowed to feel all these things. This is valid. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. Whose body is this? Where did this come from? It's okay. Let's observe it. Let's sit in it. Let's feel this. Let's get curious about it. And so it's just a, I guess when I talk about body right now, I just want to maybe give the gentle reminder that your relationship with your body is always changing. It's always ebbing and flowing. It's always, always, always going to change. And some seasons of life, it's going to feel easier than others. Some seasons of life, like I just kind of explained, I feel like I was in this position over the last few months, maybe where it's like, it wasn't even a thought. I wasn't even taking note of it. It was just so like not taking up any of my brain space. And then I kind of felt like I got like hit with this Mack truck of thoughts. And I was like, ooh. And it's not that I don't even like judge or shame myself for feeling the thoughts anymore, because that used to happen. Like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Now it's more just like, why? Like, where is this coming from? Why am I feeling this way? Allowing yourself to feel it, but why? And that's something like going into this 35th year, it's like just allowing yourself to feel emotions. I can't explain how many times in my 20s that it was, I felt something and then I would push the beach ball down. You push the feeling down underwater and then it just always pops back up, and it's going to pop up way further the further you push it down. And so that has been something that I've been really grateful for, and surrounded myself with, again, a partner who we can talk about things, friendships, mentors, that support, that community is so important. My nurse NP who helps me with my psych medications, my therapist who I'm now writing down a note to myself that I need to make an appointment right now. I told you this was a live journal entry, right? So I guess I hope what you can figure out from this episode, this terrible, terribly, what's the right word? Messy episode. Like, I'm just going to zoom in on this page real quick of like, if you're watching this, it's so funny. It's just scribbles and brain. Is that I'm 35 and I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. That's a great message right there. Could clip that one. I think something I notice often is, you know, being a business owner, working with a team, having a lot of interns that reach out and people I talk to, I get a lot of people in the community, in the dietitian community, being like, I want to be just like you when I get older. Like, how did you get to where you are? And it's so funny to think about how others perceive you, because I like wake up every day and I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And so no one knows what they're doing. Everyone's just trying to do the best they can with the resources that they have. And if you take anything away from this episode, I hope you recognize that we're all just learning. We're just all learning. That's the best we can do. And so that's my wisdom for 35 years. We'll have to check back in next year and see how much more wisdom is deemed over a course of a year. That could actually be fun because I don't think I did one last year. So maybe this is our first one. And then every year we just kind of check back in and it's like, okay, I can keep this page in my journal. I'll write it. I'll date it. And then we'll just boop, come back next year, kind of take inventory and see where we're at. And if you enjoyed today's episode and you're like, wow, all of these things are really integrated and interconnected, and I would love to get support on all of the relationships that exist in my life, please, please, please click the link in the show notes below and get your insurance benefits checked. One of my favorite quotes that one of our clients, our long-term clients, said to me before was, it's not intuitive eating, it's intuitive living. And she talked about how when she made peace with food and her body, how it really just bled over into every relationship and everything in her life. And I feel like today's episode really embodied that, of you can tell how, because I've made peace with food and my body and kind of cleared this mental space, if you will, to not be obsessed with food and body all the time, it just allows more mental bandwidth for other things. And it doesn't mean you don't struggle, right? It doesn't mean that you don't have issues and obstacles and struggles, but it allows space for other things. So if you feel like, yeah, I need to get some space back, we are here for you. So thank you so much for joining me on my 35th birthday. I really, really appreciate you. I'm so grateful to have you here. I know time is very precious. So I'm grateful for your time. I'm grateful for you being here. And I can't wait to chat with you next week. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.